Within You, Without You by the Beatles from the Revolver album, 1966, nearly 50 years ago. No, there were no psychedelics ingested during the composition of this song. No, none whatsoever. Dan Aykroyd says that aliens are disgusted by us. Actor Dan Aykroyd is convinced alien life forms refuse to make contact with the human race because we're seen as a violent, depraved, disgusting species. The Blues Brothers star is a keen student of extraterrestrial sightings and is adamant he has encountered UFOs on several occasions in the U.S. He even insists he saw two suspicious objects in the sky as the horrors of the 2001 attack on the World Trade Center in New York were unfolding, and believes the sighting gives a clue as to why aliens have not made contact with humans. Aykroyd tells the Sunday Times Magazine, "It's because we're a violent species. They don't want anything to do with us. They watch us. There were two white orbs over New Jersey when the second tower went down on 9/11. They were on CNN for about 2 minutes. They never showed it again. Can you imagine," he goes on, "what was going through their advanced minds when they saw what happened on 9/11? These humans crashing our highest evolution in aviation into our highest evolution in architecture and metallurgy. Little kids wrecking toys in the sandbox. They are disgusted with us, and rightly so, because we are depraved, disgusting species." That's Dan Aykroyd. Apparently, though, the aliens aren't that disgusted by us because it would appear, done a little bit of a flyby beneath a passenger jet in Iran. There's an interesting video posted on the highlights carousel at the website, coasttocoastam.com, courtesy of Sean Latticer. And it's a passenger aboard a commercial airliner who's captured some intriguing footage of an apparent unidentified object flying below his position. If you look at the video, the footage is not very detailed, but the disc-shaped object does not appear to be a conventional fixed-wing airplane. So again, check out the video. It's in the highlights carousel. It's entitled Passenger Films UFO Over Iran. Back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast. My name is Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Norrie. Stay a while. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Richard Serrett is sitting in for George Norrie, who's in Toronto tonight. And if you're in the Toronto area, you can listen to my radio program, weekly radio program called The Conspiracy Show on AM 740. Actually, it's a 50,000 watt clear channel, and it penetrates down into the United States pretty deep, about 28 states in the U.S. Plus, we have 30 U.S. affiliates and counting. And the website is richardserrett.com. I'm still trying to get, was it Kip from Charleston, West Virginia, who owns the pet shop? And is convinced that aliens are coming into the shop and ordering rats to eat. Just trying to get that image out of my head, and I'm not having any success. Let's say hi to Stephen, who's in Austin, Texas, on the wild card line. Stephen, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well.
All right. Now, I've got this ghost that lives in the house. I have a workshop, and it's got a whole tool section, and I keep my tools very organized. I think a good man does. And I go out there and I hear power tools, and all my tools, the sockets are rearranged in different places. And I went out there one night and I saw this flash of light, and I thought nothing of it. I thought maybe one of my power tools shorted while it was going off. And then I went out there the next night and I saw this big, voluptuous woman, and she came up and she was calling me. And she was telling me.
All right, Stephen, he held on quite a while to get that bit out, and he didn't even finish it. I mean, if you're gonna hang on that long, at least finish the story. All right, a very handy ghost that likes to use power tools. Mark is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. How are you, Mark?
Very good, Richard. Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, sir.
Good. Well, I wanted to say something about the Antichrist. A gentleman earlier was talking about that. But first, I want to give you an idea of the timeline where we stand biblically in the final days, okay? And had to do with King Nebuchadnezzar of ancient Babylon. There's a parallel between ancient Babylon and Babylon the Great today, which is us. And back in 607 BC, he had a dream, and he saw a huge oak tree which was cut down, and a band of copper and brass was placed around the stump, the tree stump, indicating the sealing off of his kingdom from him. God caused him to go to lose his mind for 7 years. Okay, and it says the fowl of the air shall pass over this stump seven times. Okay, and regarding those 7 years, it says a year for a day, a year for a day. So indicating each day of each of those years indicates a year. All right. If you multiply 360, which was their calendar back then before the Gregorian calendar was instituted, you get 2,521 years. If you add 607 and 1914, you get 2,521 years. Okay? And it says that generation who sees that time will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And it's figured that somebody roughly 8 to 10 years old who could have some understanding and see what was going on in the world, or what was the big event of 1914? World War I.
Sure, absolutely.
The war, yes, the end all wars to bring peace to the world. Okay, and God said that man would fail at this, and they failed again in World War II. Okay, so that makes someone of that generation at least 108 to 110 years old plus. Okay, and it says that generation will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So, you know, that's where we stand. We're pretty close. But regarding Antichrist, okay, it says those who do not profess that Christ has come in the flesh. This is that spirit of Antichrist, and even now it is in the world. So Antichrist was in the world when he was here, all right? And there's two places in 1st and 2nd John indicating that there are many, many Antichrists. You see, the number 6 symbolizes the imperfection of man, and it's stressed 3 times, all right? So, I mean, it's not as if a 666 is literally going to be placed on someone's head. If you receive the mark of the beast, you receive something, whether it's a chip in your hand or your forehead, and you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade without that.
Right. What do you think the mark of the beast is? Do you think it's an RFID chip? What do you think it is?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I do. I mean, it's not going to be something external.
I always found it interesting that one of them...
The right hand... or the forehead, you know, like if you're missing your right hand, then it would go in your forehead.
Sure, sure. I know that the American Medical Association and I believe even the Canadian Medical Association, or the equivalent up here in Canada, have approved the use of implantable chips, you know, to put medical records and so forth. And there is an upside. Let's say you're wheeled into an emergency room and you're unconscious and they can't notify next of kin. Maybe you don't have any identification. And yet right there on that chip, they would have your complete medical history, your allergies, et cetera. So there is an upside. But that's sort of how they, I suppose, they sell the technology to us, right? They, you know, why wouldn't you want to chip your child? What happens if your child is abducted? Why wouldn't you want to chip someone with Alzheimer's in case they wander away? Why wouldn't you want to chip you know, the most vulnerable in our society? So the other thing that's interesting is that the RFID chip, one of the major manufacturers, I think they're located in Fountain Hills, California, and they're called Alien Technology. So I don't know, is there a connection there? Perhaps. Let's say hello to, who do we have now? Is it Dennis? Is it Dennis in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love? Hello, Dennis.
Good morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Let me tell you about a situation that I'm having here in the house. Well, we first moved in 2000 in this house, and we had some very bad, about 6 months into living here, we had some very bad spirit activity. Well, it comes and it goes. It comes in waves, and then it, as quickly as it began, it stopped. But there's one particular situation. As a matter of fact, the ghost hunters that are on the Animal Planet station, they had came here for an investigation, and they caught a few things. There's one particular situation that really stands out. You know how when you lay on the floor and then your dog loves it when you lay on the floor. They come running over and lay on your stomach and kiss
you.
Sure,
sure.
Right? Well, I lay down on the floor, and about 5 feet to my right, my dog was lying on the floor. And usually she would get up and come and run over to me and so forth. Well, she was laying there. Now, I'm wondering why she isn't getting up, running over to me. So I was calling to her, and she had this strange look on her face. She got up very slowly, walking toward me. Now, if you can visualize this, she was walking toward me on my right. She walked around me. I was waiting for her to come out over to my left, and she never did. So I sat up, I turned around, and I was still calling her at that time. I sat up, I turned around, and she isn't there. Who comes running down the steps? The real Tiny, my real dog, comes running down the steps and jumps on me. So who was that on my right?
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Okay, so that's, excuse me, that was just one situation. Then I got married, and my wife moved in, and it sort of picked back up. She got scratched in the shower. We came downstairs in the morning and found her eyeglasses, split, the lens split down in the middle. And recently, her ring that her grandmother gave her, she was dusting the bureau upstairs in the bedroom, and she found a ring that her grandmother gave her, squashed like a car ran over it, literally squashed. So it sort of picks back up, and then it's abated, then it picks back up, and then...
And you've been living in this house since 2000, Dennis?
Since 2000, yeah. I mean, it really doesn't, to tell you the truth, it really doesn't bother me. I think it thrives on when you get scared. It thrives on this. It kind of enjoys it, you know. But it really doesn't bother me. It freaks my wife out.
Well, I guess she was the one that got attacked in the shower.
Well, I was. Well, in the beginning, I was the focus of its attention heavily, heavily. And it never bothered my brother. It never bothered my mom. It was always me. I mean, I can go and I can literally write a book about what happened here when we first moved in here. But it really doesn't bother me. But I guess it knows who it can pick on and, you know, and get a reaction from it, and who it can, and then it stops bothering them at that point.
Have you done any history? Have you checked the title on your house to see?
I did.
And what did you find?
I did. The history only went up to 1950, and in order for me to go any further down, I had to go to another location and do a further history. But a friend of mine did a history and found that a person had passed away here. But as far as going back, the house was built in 1921. So in order for me to go from 1950 down to 1921, I had to go to another location and then do that, and then it's going to cost me some money. But I'm saying to myself, yeah, I can do this, but what's the point? It's here. What's here is here. I had the ghost hunters come down. They brought a psychic down, and they did a house cleaning. Well, obviously, they didn't clean very well because it's still here. So I did some EVPs. I got some, as a matter of fact, and I'll leave with this. My mom passed away in 2007. So, I had my aunt over. It was my mom's birthday, and we were doing an EVP. And I asked on the EVP, Mom, how are you happy? Are you there? You know, asking me typical questions. And my aunt was asking her, how are you? Are you happy where you're at? Well, when I played the EVP back, now, I don't know if it's some entity that's trying to pose as my mom, but when we played it back, we heard a chuckle. Then we heard the woman say, "Hi, Ro. I'm very happy here." Now, my mother called my mom Ro, not Rose. And she said, "Hi, Rose." Yeah, she said, "Yes, I'm very happy here." So that's a little indication that maybe it's something that is trying to pose as my mom, but it isn't, because she never called my aunt Rose. She always called her Ro. So that, so I don't know.
You've got a trickster there.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do. Yeah. So if, as I was saying before, if I do the investigation, I find that information, okay, fine. It's still going to be here. It's still going to be mischievous. It's still going to, you know, periodically raise its head and do something. So what's the point? I either deal with it or I move. That's all.
Wow, so I gotta hand it to you. You're able to coexist with this entity. You're a far, I don't know, say better person than I am, but I think I would have hightailed it out of there long ago.
No, it was here before I was. I mean, who am I to tell it to leave? As long as it minds its own business, it doesn't bother us. We coexist peacefully, and you know, nobody is worse for the wear, right? So, so thanks
well,
for the time, Richard.
Until I appreciate it, Dennis from Philadelphia. No worse for wear. I don't know. If my wife was attacked in the shower, I'd be backing up the U-Haul. Eric is in British Columbia on the wild card line. Good morning, Eric. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Oh, hi, Richard. Thanks for taking the call here. Yeah, I'm just calling about our situation in Iraq there. I'm saying our situation because Canada's involved as well. We've sent...
got a half dozen CF-18s over there.
Yeah, yeah. And
dropping some laser-guided bombs on ISIS positions, yes.
Yeah, and some so-called advisors. And, of course, President Obama sent another 1,500 U.S. advisors there. And, you know, if I was in the armed services, I'd refuse to go because... All this is about is securing a monopoly for the few people who are in charge of the oil. You know, for the 1%, troops are going over there and coming back, and a lot of them are committing suicide. It's ridiculous. I'd refuse to go.
Well, yeah, they're calling this this incremental ratcheting up of, as you call them, advisors. They're calling this mission creep. I mean, this is how Vietnam started. Advisors, right? And then advisors became boots on the ground.
And for what?
What is this? Is this the third go-around now in Iraq? We've seen this movie before, and we know how it ends. I hear you, Eric.
And for what? So that the 1% can make more money, and we have to pay, so they've brought the price of gas down a few cents, you know, to keep us pacified. And it's just for a monopoly, and that's it. They don't want those people pumping because it's competition, you know?
Well, I think that the Gulf Wars 1 and 2 may have had a little bit more to do with the oil in the ground or keeping it in the ground, perhaps, and creating some sort of artificial scarcity.
Like
that may have been part of it.
It's like the diamond monopoly. It's like the diamond monopoly, you know? They'd have warehouses full of diamonds. And they control the prices.
Right. This time around, though, it's different. It's much different. I mean, this ISIL, this is a scourge that you could get into, you know, who's behind them and who's funding them and who created this monster and so forth. Fine. You know, we can have that debate as well, but they've got to be stopped. You know, this is just, it's a cancer and it's got to be ripped out. And whether we do it. I don't think we can do it with laser-guided bombs from the air. It's going to take a concerted effort on the ground. And let's hope, you know, that they commit the troops and get it done right this time so we don't have to keep going back there every 5 years. This is just absurd. All right, we'll take a time out, come back with more of your calls here on the open line portion of the program. Richard Serrett sitting in for George Norrie here on Coast to Coast. Great to be with you, and thanks for inviting me into your homes. Sitting in for George Norrie, who's in Toronto as we speak, preparing for his big stage show tomorrow down the road at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre, along with our Gary Patterson, Judith Very Baker, a former lover of Lee Harvey Oswald, Alex Jones via the Skype, and Peter Davenport from the UFO National UFO Reporting Center, among others. It's going to be a great show. That was Los Bravos bringing us back in from the break, a kind of a Spanish beat group. That formed in the mid-60s out of Madrid, and this single, Black is Black, moved up the charts, I think, to about number 4 in the U.S., and sold over 1 million records, and then I don't know if much was heard from Los Bravos ever again, so kind of one of those one-hit wonders. Great tune, though. Black is Black, Los Bravos. A great story here on the coasttocoastam.com website. Could we soon record our dreams? Headset uses brainwaves to give viewers snapshots of their subconscious mind. A cinema experience has been created that edits films according to people's brainwaves so that everyone sees a different version. Scanners project allows users to manipulate a digital art installation, and the result is a visual record of a person's subconscious mind. The system relies on a $15 headset. The system relies on a $15 headset developed by the tech company NeuroSky. Imagine being able to record your dreams. Forget that. I'm still trying to figure out how to program my TiVo. Back to more open line questions, calls, comments here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back. All right. We have just about 20 minutes left to get it set here on the open line segment. And let's see. Who do we have here? I just lost my computer here momentarily. That's why. And we're going to go to Cheryl in Kalamazoo, Michigan. She's been very patient and waiting a while. Hey, Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Great. I just had a comment and then a quick story. And the comment is for the fellow who called. It's been a little while now. But he was talking about the zip code in Illinois and the 666. And I wanted to tell him and everybody else who might believe that the zip codes in this country, in America, are set up East Coast. The zip codes start with 0, and all the way to the West Coast, they start with 9. And so when you're in Illinois, Michigan, the middle of the country, they all start with 4. So there's no way that part could be true. And just don't believe everything you read on the Internet. And,
well, even if it was true, even if the zip code in Chicago was 666, I mean, that could mean that Phil Donahue is the Antichrist, because Phil Donahue came from Chicago.
Excellent point. I also, on the Antichrist note, have been toying with the idea in my head that I wonder if the Antichrist could actually be an idea, like a group think kind of a thing rather than a single person. Just kind of a thought that I've been rolling around. But anyway.
All right, Cheryl. I appreciate the call from Kalamazoo. Thanks for checking in. Stephen is in Hazard, Kentucky. Stephen, east of the Rockies, welcome aboard.
Hello.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Okay. So I had a story, and I was hoping maybe you could give me just a little bit of advice. So now I'm an amateur paranormal investigator in my hometown. My cousin Vernon and I, now we had a friend named Brenda, and she was having some disturbances in her home. Things were moving. She was having, just hearing strange noises. Now, she wanted us to look into it. We went over to her house. She has a Ouija board. And I don't have very much experience with the Ouija board now, but apparently she played with it before, and she felt comfortable with us there to use it and try and communicate. Now, when we was using the board, the dial, the cursor, it would just go in a counterclockwise circle.
The planchette, they call it. The planchette.
The planchette.
Is that what you mean?
Okay, thank you.
Right. The thing that you move around the board. Yes.
Now, when we played, it would just move in a counterclockwise circle. And we didn't really understand what that meant. We tried to talk. Any question we asked, it would just go to the circle. Now, towards the end, it started to seem like it got violent, like it just wanted, the planchette was trying to get off the board, and that concerned us a lot. Now, my cousin Vernon, he carries silver with him, and we put that on the board, and that actually did cause that fuss to calm down. Well, we stayed that night because she was very uncomfortable. It's just herself and her children. So Vernon and I, we just stayed up all night so she could try and get some rest. Now, she was pretty spooked from the whole ordeal. She ended up burning the board. Now, the presences in her home, she thinks they may be getting stronger since we talked to her last. I don't know very much about Ouija boards. I know it's not good to burn them. I recommended she did not do that, and she still went on ahead and did it. I don't know if you or somebody, one of your callers, or you might have some experience. What is something I can do to try and help her? Would we have to have a priest come into the home and try and tell the spirits to get? Like, what do we have to do to try and help her?
Well, there is a school of thought that suggests that perhaps the problem started by playing with the Ouija board in the first place, that maybe opened up some sort of a portal through which these spirits waltzed through into her home. So, it's the horse bolting the barn. It's a little late now, but, let's start with not playing around with the Ouija board anymore. And now that you've got the problem, you know, I don't think this is something for amateurs. I think you got to call in some professionals. And, there are professional paranormal researchers and investigators. And Rosemary Ellen Guiley is I think terrific. And she's on Coast to Coast a lot. You might want to try and get in touch with her and seek out her counsel, because I am not a professional. And I would... I don't play a ghost hunter on TV, and I'm not one in real life. So I would not want to, give you some bad advice, especially when, you're playing around with dirty spiritual laundry, as one ghost hunter described it. This is nothing to be trifled with. So, get in touch with someone who knows about these things, someone like a Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and, she'll have some great advice for you. I'm sorry I can't be of more help, but, that's the number one thing is don't play with Ouija boards. All right, Mick is in Bismarck, North Dakota. Mick, you've been very, very patient, the patience of Job, and I appreciate it. Welcome aboard Coast to Coast.
Hey, Richard. How you doing?
Very well.
Very good. Actually, to the last issue, I just want to know, me and my mom watch a lot of ghosts. Adventures or whatever, right? On TVs, the TV shows, right? Why isn't there any Native Americans that report these entities or ghosts? And they, it's not, I'm just saying, it's not a race thing, but it's always white or African Americans or whites, but why do they always bring in a Native American, but you never see Native Americans reporting these entities on these TV shows? Why is that?
That's a great question. I'd never noticed that. So, is that true? Who knows? You're saying that most of the Native Americans never report hauntings, but Native Americans are often brought in as the person to cleanse the home and so forth.
Yeah, but they're never the, not the star, but like the people reporting these. It's always white or African-Americans or even Mexicans, reporting these entities. But why isn't there Native Americans in these TV shows?
Well, keep in mind, a television show is a pretty small snippet of society, so it's not necessarily indicative of anything. I wouldn't read too much into it. Appreciate the call. Laura is in Arlington, Washington. Laura, good morning. Laura, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi. I had a comment about the RFID chip and then also a comment about the subject of haunting, and it just kind of came up just,
All right, let's start with the RFID chip.
Sure.
Do you think this is the mark of the beast?
Yes. That is referring to Revelation 13, where it talks about the mark of the beast. Do not take the mark, and that is it is in the hand or the forehead, and we are not to take that. It's very clear in Scripture that we are not to take that. And then the other thing where he was asking, about how do you get rid of this sort of thing. Well, being a believer, I asked Christ into my heart when I was 8, so that's in 1968, and it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that those demonic entities, which are dark angels, basically fallen angels, are bound and they will leave, because by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have that authority as a believer to tell those dark entities to get out and leave. And basically that's what they have to do, because that's how God created it. It's just very simple.
So the Jesus prayer works for you?
One, yes. Well, in Jesus' name, in the blood of Jesus Christ, yes, absolutely. That's what it states clearly in the Holy Bible. And if you are a believer, meaning you've asked Christ into your heart, scriptures state that they are bound and rebuked and gone and have to leave. So,
all right. I've heard alien abductees claim that it also works in those cases as well, that they've recited the Jesus prayer and the abduction stopped. So, hey, if that's what works, just, you know, keep doing it. All right. Let's say hi to... I'm sorry?
So, well, you mentioned aliens. Funny side note, scripture teaches that those who believe are actually aliens. So, hey, here we are.
Here we are. All right, I appreciate the call. And next up is Tony in Salem, Oregon. Hey, Tony.
Hello. Thank you for letting me know about the Beaver Moon. I'm calling from the Beaver State. How are you doing today, Richard?
Very well, and you?
Awesome, sir. Thank you very much. I got a little story. I'm a big Coast to Coast fan. So I got into Lucid Dreaming, you know, kind of because of all the guests and the paranormal and stuff. And for some reason, I was going to sleep. I kept asking myself the question, when am I going to die? I guess cynically, you know, and I actually got an answer.
I don't know if I want to ask you what the answer is. I mean, I don't know if that's something you
know,
want to contemplate.
The bad part is, I guess, is I don't know the year. I just got the date. So every October 21st, I'm very cautious.
I guess so. You see, yeah, that's the problem. When you know, I don't want to know. I really don't. If it's tomorrow, next week, when I'm 95, I don't want to know the date, because then you just start overthinking everything. So it's, well, I don't want to even repeat it. Well, you know the date, but you don't know the year. I guess there's some solace in that. Tony, appreciate the call. Mark is in Westchester, New York. Mark, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Yeah, it's a fucking story.
Mark, I need you to get off the speakerphone and pick up the old handset.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm just, I got into it with my buddy. Sorry about that. No, I was, I'm from Westchester, New York. And we're out camping with my buddies, like way up in the Adirondack Mountains. And we had this little campfire set up, and there's only two of us out there. And we're just hanging out. We cooked up some fish. We caught in a stream. And then all of a sudden we started, like there was a rock that got thrown right, like almost it bounced like through the camp zone right into the campfire. And I thought it was one of my buddies, so I didn't say anything about it. And all of a sudden, another one came through. This one was a little bit bigger. And they both looked up, and so we realized that somebody else was throwing these rocks. And, you know, I thought it was a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot or, like, I guess a Yeti in off-season. But it was, I started, like, hitting on the tree, like, seeing if anything would come back. But all we heard was this loud, loud yell way off in the distance. And I'm assuming it sounded really close, but it sounded like it was echoing far away from us. So I'm assuming it was yelling off in the other direction. But it was, it sounded like there was a Yeti or a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot right there with us.
And it had like,
we chased it into the woods. We had machetes, but it was dark, so we couldn't go too far. But it had a stride two or three times my size. It was incredible.
Can you do the call for us?
The call? It was like, I don't want to yell into the phone. Let me, I'll pull the phone away from my face and see if I can, if it sounds familiar.
All right. Well, unless it was the ghost of Johnny Weissmuller, I don't know. You may have had a Bigfoot there. I'm not sure.
It had a very sharp upturn at the very end. It was a really weird call. I thought it was a wolf at first, but I tell you what, the stride, and we could hear it running through the trees. And that's why we knew it was massive. It was like breaking branches. It was just this big, massive animal. It had this.
There it is again. Well, you know, and you chased into the dark woods with a machete after it. You're a brave man. Let's say hi to Vicky in Hamilton, Ontario. Hey, just down the road from us. Vicky, welcome to Coast.
Pardon?
You're on, Vicky. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I got a question for you. What's a good way to get rid of shadows, like entities?
Shadow people?
Yes.
You've got some of those lurking around, do you?
Yes.
Well, I'm trying to remember what Rosemary Ellen Guiley told me about shadow people. I mean, I think she'll utilize things like, someone mentioned, you know, American Indians being featured in ghost hunting stories, and you know, they burn a lot of sweet grass and so and things like that. I think they call it smudging. Apparently, that's supposed to have some effect.
Okay, because it's getting kind of freaky, and like I won't go down in the basement at night or anything. Like, it's really, really freaky.
What do these things look like? I mean, they're shadows, but what do they look like?
It's like tall, but not too tall, like a blackish gray.
Right, and they're just like silhouettes. Is that the idea?
I guess. That's what you call them.
Well, have you thought about maybe calling in a perhaps a clergyman or someone to try and cleanse or exercise your house?
Okay, because it's like I get tingly. It feels like somebody's watching me, and it's like really, really freaky.
Well, you might start there.
Okay.
Maybe a clergyman or someone like that, and any denomination. I don't know what denomination you are or if you're affiliated with any particular faith, but that might be a good place to start. See if they'll come into your house and cleanse your home. Listen, Vicky, appreciate the call from Hamilton. And thank you to all of you that we didn't get to. My apologies. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyon, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Gina Selvati, Brian Opel, Tim Banal, Chris Burrows, and Sean Latticeur, and here in Toronto, Gord Harris, Luke Cameron, and Scott Guest. My name is Richard Serrett. Thank you for your voices, your beautiful voices. So long.